Okay, you're tuned to WHPK 88.5 FM in Chicago. You are now listening to the Sitting in the Park show. Today I have a special show because I will be starting off with an interview with Marvin Smith, who was the lead singer on most of the Artistics records and who had a lot of great solo records. So we'll be talking about his music and his career and playing his records, so you should definitely keep tuned. So first of all, thanks so much for coming down to the studio.
Oh, thank you for having me.
So first of all, are you originally from Chicago?
Born and raised, no.
Where were you born?
I was born and raised in Forest City, Arkansas.
When did you come to Chicago?
I came to Chicago when I was about 8 years old.
And what part of Chicago did you come to?
The west side of Chicago.
Okay. So what area of the west side are you from? Like what street?
I used to live... I lived on the west side a long time in different places. I lived on Washington Boulevard. I lived on Adams. I lived on Maple. I lived on Artesian. I lived on Kaminsky. And... that's about it.
Okay, so what was the name of the neighborhood that you lived in mainly? Like just the west side?
Yeah, west side. Yeah, okay. There was no particular names.
Okay.
No areas.
Okay, mm-hmm. So how did you get started singing?
I started singing pretty much in church. And my mother was a gospel singer from the Metropolitan Baptist Church. And... I started singing, I guess, by going to church and, listening to the choir. And when I would come home, my mother would be cooking, and I, you know, might be hungry, waiting to eat. And she'd be singing in the kitchen while she was cooking. And, I think I would just, start singing with her, singing along with her, and... pretty soon, I realized that I did have an ear for music. And after that...
Where was the church you were singing at?
The church? I sung at a lot of churches, but the main church I used to sing at was... it was called the United Faith Baptist Church on Laramie and Lake Street in Chicago.
Okay.
And that's where I got a lot of my church experience from. And there was we had a spiritual group called the Sensational Starlighters, who sang, we used to sing all of the Soul Stirrers songs, Sam Cooke and the Soul Stirrers. And I think this is when I really realized that, I really had something going. And actually, even before that, being a teenager, I would sing on all of the like the parades. We used to have the Bud Billiken parade. We used to have a West Side parade.
Okay.
And we would dress up, buy new shirts that look alike, and be in the parades. And, like I said, sing on the street corners and school corridors. So that's where it all really started at.
So the what was the name again of the gospel group you said you sang with?
The Sensational Starlighters.
And how old were you when you started singing with them?
I guess I had to be maybe 15.
Mm-hmm. And did you ever record anything with them?
No, we never recorded. Uh-uh.
And but was that the first time you sang with a group of people, also like in that gospel group, or did you also sing, like you said, you sang in high school in the hallway and stuff?
Yeah, well, actually, this was before I started singing professional. Now I started singing professional with the Eldorados.
Okay, so when you were in high school, though, did you have a group in school that didn't record? Were you ever in a group in high school, or were just singing with other people pretty much?
Yeah, we had a group called it was the Spiritual Songs, the Sensational Starlighters, and also the rock and roll group. We called ourselves the Fascinators.
Okay.
And that was right about the time when I was going to high school with the Ideals.
So you went to Crane?
Yeah, I went to Crane Tech.
And what year did you graduate?
No, I didn't graduate.
What year did you start?
Okay, I started in 55, and I left in 58. I left in my last year of school going on the road with the Eldorados. That's when I got in Eldorados. I asked my mother, could I join that group? And she told me that I could if I finished high school education. So I went on the road to California, and I was attending night school while we were singing on the weekends in San Francisco, California.
So how did you end up joining the El Dorados?
Well, the El Dorados heard about me, you know, like word of mouth and other groups. And I would sing all of their songs, you know, when we would have the, you know, that group battles, you know, like at school or in the corridors of school or in the park, wherever we felt like we wanted to sing, because we were singing a cappella.
So with your group, the Fascinators, you were singing El Dorado songs, you're saying?
Right.
And the Fascinators you were in weren't the Fascinators that recorded, because that was a West Side group called
No, we didn't record.
Okay. So the El Dorados just heard about you, and how did they have an opening in their group? What was the story with that?
Well, they had their lead singer, Perkley Moses. Somehow, them and Perkley Moses separated. I don't know what happened, but that's when I was called because they needed a lead singer. And like I say, they heard about me, and then I heard somehow they got my number, and they called me, and.
And you said you joined them in 58?
58, yeah.
And I knew you said you went to California. Did you cut a record with them first before you went to California, or you went to California first?
Yeah, we went to California first. That's where we cut. Matter of fact, you don't even have the first record. Actually, when you asked me a few minutes ago about the first record that we recorded, and I think the first record we recorded, it was under the name Those Four El Dorados. And the name of the song was A Lonely Boy.
And that came out on the Academy label?
Yeah.
Did it come out in Chicago or was it an L.A. record?
It was an L.A. record because I never even thought it came out.
Okay. No. So you went to L.A. in 58.
San Francisco, sorry.
Mm-hmm. And so were you doing shows at the time?
Yeah, we were singing. We were working clubs on the weekends.
So pretty much on the weekends you were working clubs, and
uh-huh.
And you said you were going to night school.
And I was going to night school.
Were you working just a job there during the day?
No. We sang on the weekend, and that was it.
And you were singing as the El Dorados.
As the El Dorados. Uh-huh.
And then, so you ended up cutting. So how long were you there? In like initially, you just got a booking to go over there. Is that right?
No, one of the guys, actually, he was Jewel Jones of the El Dorados. Were getting married. So he was going out there to get married.
Okay.
But we also had a booking agent who was booking us at the same time. So when we went out there, he's going to get married. We're going to sing.
Okay. Uh-huh. So you went out there and you started doing clubs, and you were performing as the El Dorados at the clubs.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Were you doing El Dorado songs? What types of songs were you doing?
Oh, we was doing all the El Dorado songs. Crazy Little Mama. I'll Be Forever Loving You. Tears on My Pillow.
Were the rest of the group, were they older than you?
Yeah.
And how did you end up getting that first recording deal as the Four El Dorados on Academy Records?
I don't really know, because I didn't really have anything to do with the business part of it.
Okay.
You know, I was the youngest guy, and all I did was sing.
Okay. And but you said you didn't even know it was released. That means it didn't really get play or anything like that?
No, I never knew it. All I knew is that the record was made, and it was a beautiful song. Yeah. So.
And then you cut one more record while you were over there. Is that right?
Yeah, I think we cut two more sides, and that was the one you played from under the name The Tempos.
Okay. So, why did you record as The Tempos instead of as the Four El Dorados?
Well, they was having a problem with the name.
Just because Perkley or VJ owned it or something.
Right. I think VJ owned the name. So.
And who were the four members that were singing on these records?
Jewel Jones, James Maddox, and Lewis Bradley.
And you.
And me.
Okay, so I got one of the records here to play. So you said this is the A side of the Tempos record. It's called Never Let Me Go. Wait.
I thought it was Promise Me.
Promise Me, I'm sorry.
That's what I thought.
I cued the wrong side. I think that was an unreleased record that I just mentioned. That was one of the four sides you just said you cut. So I'm going to play Promise Me, and then we can talk some more.
Okay.
So this is the El Dorados recording of the name The Tempos, and with Marvin Smith singing lead.
No, I'm not singing lead on that.
Okay, who sings lead on
this
one?
That's Louis Bradley.
Do you want me to play one that you sing lead on, or you want
me to play the one I sing lead on?
Which one do you sing lead on?
Which one? What's the name of the one you
There's Promise Me, Never Let Me Go, To Love Again, and Patricia on this CD.
To Love Again.
Okay, I'm going to play it, To Love Again. Was this track released? This track wasn't released.
Never Let Me Go was released.
Okay, but you don't sing lead on that.
I don't know.
Okay, well,
let me hear it then.
I'll play Never Let Me Go, which you sing lead on, hopefully. We'll find out in 1 second.
Okay.
And then we'll talk some more. So this is The Tempos with Never Let Me Go. Okay, that was just The Tempos, who were actually the Eldorados with Marvin Smith singing lead on it, and that track was called Never Let Me Go, and that came out on a California label called Rhythm, I think, and it came out in the late 50s sometime.
Yeah.
And so how long had you been in California before that was recorded?
About a year.
Okay, and you said you don't remember the deals of the recording or anything like that.
No.
And you were actually, so how old were you around that time?
I have to be maybe 18, 19, somewhere around there.
And how old were the rest of the Eldorados?
They were like 22, 23, 24.
Okay, mm-hmm. So how long did you stay in California?
We stayed in California for about maybe 2.5 years.
So you there from like 58 to 60, something like that?
Right. Uh-huh.
And were you working continuously?
You mean on weekends?
Yeah, were you pretty much working every weekend?
Yeah, until the work started slowing up.
Okay.
When the work started slacking, well, I was pretty much ready to come home.
So did you perform, you said you went to San Francisco originally?
Yeah, that's where I was.
Were you in the Bay Area the whole time, or did you guys move around also in tour, or just stay in the Bay Area?
It's just in the Bay Area.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Do you remember some of the other acts from over there that you did shows with?
We were pretty much by ourselves.
Okay.
You know, we didn't really work with... They were big enough to be by themselves, you know, at that time.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So, and what were the clubs like that you performed there? Were they like black clubs, white clubs?
Oh, they were... It was pretty... Everything was mixed.
Okay.
You know, it wasn't no all blacks. And matter of fact, I never will forget when I first got there, a story here where... Here's six guys going to California in a Cadillac, and by me being the youngest and not driving, I had to sit in the back in the middle. So I'm all cramped up and everything. So, man, I said I would never make this trip again, you know, not in no car. So we get there, and, you know, I'm all tired out and everything and sleepy and ready to go to bed. So what happened is the lady where we stayed at, I had a bed right there in the living room or dining room. And I was asleep, and, man, I woke up, and I heard a lot of snickering, you know, like people snickering. And I wake up, and there's a house full of women, man. I mean, like, all kind of women, black, Spanish, white. I mean, and they were all in the house. So they were expecting us. So you know how I felt. I felt embarrassed. You know, I'm all dirty from the trip and everything. You know, and all these women in the house, you know, but they were there to pretty much greet us.
Okay.
Yeah. So it was nice, though. It was nice. It wasn't bad, you know. So.
So you said you were in California for about 2.5 years, and then mm-hmm. the work slowed down.
Mm-hmm.
Was it because they didn't have any more hits? Is that pretty much
yeah.
why?
Yeah, that was it.
So did you come back to Chicago after that?
Yeah, I came back to Chicago right after that.
Was it 60 or 61? Do you remember what year?
It had to be maybe 61. I would say 61.
Okay, so how long in Chicago did you start doing music again when you came back to Chicago?
Well, actually, when I came back to Chicago, I started singing in church again, and after church, this is when Major Lance approached me about meeting Carl Davis at Columbia Records.
How did you know Major? He was with the Ideals for a second too, right? When you went back in your high school?
You know, we went to school together, but I never really saw Major with a group.
Okay.
I always knew him as being by himself, you know.
Yeah, they told me that, or one of them told me that, like, they let Major join so they could get on the Jim Lounsbury show.
Oh, really? Oh, okay.
But he went to Crane, too, you're saying?
Yeah, Major went to Crane.
So you knew him from back in the day.
Oh, yeah, we knew each other.
He brought you to Carl Davis.
Right. Uh-huh.
So had he already recorded on OK Records?
I think so. Uh-huh.
And so you met Carl, and what happened?
When I met Carl, Carl signed me up right away. He just told me I had to drop this Sam Cooke bag, because when I came in there, I was, you know, singing Sam Cooke down. You know, I mean, I just loved Sam Cooke. And, you know, Carl Davis didn't particularly like recording artists who sounded like somebody else. He wanted you to be original.
Okay.
So, I appreciated that, though.
So he brought you there, and your intention was to be a solo artist, is that right?
Right. Uh-huh.
So did
he put me with the Artistics.
So you thought you were going to be a solo artist, and then you ended up recording with a group.
Well, he said that they had a recording session coming, and it would have been to my benefit, you know, to do the session, you know, especially. And I'm trying to make it, so it really didn't matter, because I knew Larry. Well, actually, I knew the group from the West Side, because even when I would see them at different times, you know, we'd be singing at different places, you know, his group and my group. And we all became friends, you know, so.
So, and before you joined, so the Artistics were already together before you joined.
Exactly.
And they even already had a record out, right? They had one record out before
yeah.
you joined.
Yeah, they did.
And the original lead was a guy named Robert Dobine.
Right, uh-huh.
So what happened? Did he leave the group? Like, what was the story?
I never knew what the story was, but I know that Carl said that he wanted to put me with the group. So I don't know if Robert left on his own or they had a problem. I never knew.
So you became the new lead singer of
exactly.
the group.
Exactly. I became the new lead singer with the promise of Carl making me a single artist or putting records out on me by myself.
Okay. And is the first record you cut with them, Get My Hands on Some Lovin'?
Yeah, that was Marvin Gaye wrote. I'm not really sure. I thought that...
It says Marvin Gaye and Mickey Stevenson wrote.
Right, but what I couldn't... I can't remember if that came out before This Heart of Man or after. All I know is a Marvin Gaye song.
It's definitely before, because it's got a lower catalog number.
It was before? Okay,
yeah.
Well, that was our first record then.
So that's my, although it wasn't the hit, the biggest hit, that's my favorite record that you guys did, Get My Hands on Lovin'.
Oh, okay.
I really like how it has, even though Marvin Gaye wrote it, it's got a real Chicago sound.
Yeah.
So that's one thing that's interesting is how did you end up, because a bunch of your records had Motown writers like either Marvin Gaye or Barrett Strong.
Mm-hmm.
What's the story? Do you know how you, and that was unusual, like usually Barry Gordy wouldn't let his writers go and write for other people
okay.
at other places. Do you know how Marvin Gaye ended up writing that song?
No, I don't. All I know is that, you know, Carl gave us the song, And, you know, it was, you know, matter of fact, they did the session. They had already done the music. So all I had to do was go in there and sing. He showed me how it went. And the song was very much like Stubborn Kind of Fellow.
Okay.
You know, so I liked that. So I just sung it, you know.
And it got played in Chicago, right?
Yeah, they played it, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they played it. I don't know what happened. I don't know how long they played it, but they did start off playing it.
Okay. And did you start doing shows with the Artistics at that point?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I was in.
Okay, so, and was that, would you say it was just, it wasn't like a huge hit, right, but it got played, Get My Hands on Some Lovin'?
Right, it got played, and I never thought that it sold a lot, because I knew it wasn't getting a whole lot of, it wasn't being played everywhere, I don't think.
Okay, mm-hmm. And so what types of places did you do shows at with the group?
We worked pretty much through the South. Chitlin Circuit.
So you actually toured, was it at the time, did you tour after the other records came out, or you started touring right away?
We started touring right away. Matter of fact, when This Heart of Man came out, we went straight to the Uptown Theater in Philadelphia.
Okay.
I think that was, I don't know if it was a Jackie Wilson show or Gladys Knight and the Pips, but it was like about five or six acts on the show. Somebody had fell out. Some act that they had. So Queen's Booking Agency said that they wanted us to replace them. So this is the first time that anybody saw us as the Artistics.
Was when you went to Philly?
We went to Philly, the Uptown.
You mean anybody outside Chicago, you mean? You did shows in Chicago, though, as Artistics or not?
Oh, yeah, the Regal Theater.
Okay.
You know, we played the Regal, you know, quite a bit. The Apollo in New York. We played the Apollo, like, wow, a lot of times.
And what was the lineup of the group on the OK Records you cut?
What was the lineup?
Yeah, who was singing?
See, that was Larry Johnson singing first tenor.
Okay.
Jesse Bolian singing baritone and second tenor. And then there was Aaron Floyd singing baritone and bass.
And you sang lead.
And I sang lead.
On all of the OK Records you're on?
Yeah, lead and first tenor.
So there was that first record, Get My Hands on Some Lovin'. Mm-hmm. Then the second record they released on you was Patty Cake and In Another Man's Arms. And you actually wrote both those sides.
Yeah, I didn't know that. I mean, I didn't know. I thought This Heart of Man was released first.
Well, this one's got catalog number 7217.
So is that before or after?
And the other one's got 7232, so this one had to come out first.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that. Okay.
So
I didn't know that.
So was Patty Cake one of the first records you wrote?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah,
I like how you do the girls' voices on the record.
Well, you know what? Let me tell you about that. In our group, like Aaron Floyd was a character. I mean, he was a funny guy, you know, that we used to play a lot. And, you know, when we was recording this, Aaron had a thing like acting like a sissy, you know, and when he do that, we all start laughing. So we thought, well, you know, why don't we put that on the record?
Okay.
You know, to make people kind of maybe notice it. That's how that came about. Really, Honey, Really.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah.
So I'll play that if we have time, but the one record that people want to hear is This Heart of Mine. So that was your biggest hit that you had on OK Records.
On
OK,
right? Yeah.
And so what was the story with that? Like, do you remember who wrote the record?
Very Strong.
Okay.
Very Strong wrote, you know, Grapevine and a lot of other songs.
And
Very
song
Strong and Mickey Stevenson.
And he had the song Money.
Money, yeah, it. Money, yeah.
So you still have no idea how Carl Davis ended up using Motown writers, right? It just, did you ever meet Barrett around the time?
Oh, I knew Barrett, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I knew him.
So was he coming to Chicago to write the music?
Well, I don't know. I think at one point, I thought Barrett might have been living here for a while.
Oh, actually, I think that makes sense because he also released a record on Tolly Records out of Chicago,
okay.
On VJ-related records.
Okay, but he was, I think after he left Motown and came to Carl, I think that was it. I don't know if he went back to Motown or not. I know after that, I think he went to California.
So Barrett actually had left Motown, and you're saying when he was working in Chicago.
I think so, uh-huh.
But obviously Marvin Gaye was still in Detroit, though, when he wrote your record.
Oh, that's right, because he was also on Grapevine, Barrett Strong.
Okay.
So maybe he went back. I don't know.
Okay.
Because I know Marvin Gaye's Grapevine came out after, you know, our song, This Heart of Man.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let me play. But you think you think Barry Strong wrote your stuff while he was in Chicago, though?
I would think so.
Okay. Well, let me play This Heart of Mine, and we can talk some more.
Okay.
So this is the Artistics with, I guess, they're probably the first big hit in Chicago.
Yeah.
This is This Heart of Mine. Okay, you're tuned to WHPK 88.5 FM in Chicago. You are listening to the Sitting in the Park show. That was just the Artistics with This Heart of Mine. If you're just tuning in, I have lead singer of the Artistics on that record, Marvin Smith, up in the studio right now telling his story. So you said that record, it got played not just in Chicago but in other cities. Is that
right?
Oh,
yeah. Matter of fact, that was one of those records that pretty much sold on its own. People liked it, and wherever it played at, people bought it.
Okay.
So it wasn't a lot of promotion on it.
It's interesting because it's probably one of the most Motown sounding Chicago records.
Right. And another thing, I think that the group I think people kind of like looked at us like they did the Temptations and the Gladys Knight and the Pips.
Yeah, it had a Temptations kind
and
of
that was. I think more or less the way the guys stepped, the way they danced, and the guys, when I say that, Larry, Jesse, and Aaron, they really liked Gladys, they really liked the Pips, you know, Bubba them, and they kind of like patterned themselves after them, and that's what made the group so people like us so much, because we kind of had the whole package, you know.
Did you know the Pips at the time?
Oh yeah, sure.
Was it because they performed in Chicago a lot, or because you went to Detroit a lot? Like, how did you know them?
Well, we knew them because we worked with them, like the Regal and, you know, other cities.
Okay.
And that was pretty much it, you know.
And you said you had your own steps and stuff, like you had your own kind of act.
Oh yeah, yeah. Our group, they had their own kind of steps, and it was real slick.
Who worked out all the choreography?
It was Bernard Reed. Bernard Reed was
okay.
In the group for a minute. He played bass.
Okay.
And he's been with us for years.
Didn't he start working with you when you were at Brunswick, though?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So, but originally, he wasn't with you when you were on OK, right?
No.
Okay.
No.
So, but later he said he did the choreography for
he
you?
He did the choreography. At that time, he was a member of the group, but he played bass.
Okay.
You know, for the group.
So, and so you said you toured and you went to Philadelphia?
Philadelphia. We played the Apollo a lot. Like I said, the Regal, the Howard Theater in Washington.
And all of that was after this, just this one record, pretty much, this Heart of Mine?
No.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying. This Heart of Man. Yeah, this Heart of Man and When I'm Gonna Miss You came out. It just really...
Yeah, that was your biggest record.
Yeah, that kind of really opened it up. But, you know, a funny thing about I'm Gonna Miss You, I didn't work a lot on I'm Gonna Miss You. And that was because I'm Gonna Miss You and Time Stop, my song by myself, was out at the same time.
Yeah, well, let's get to that. So,
okay.
So you had been with Carl Davis at OK Records for 3-4 years already.
Uh-huh.
And he had signed you with the promise of being a solo artist.
Right.
And so how come you never recorded solo when you were at OK Records?
Well, that was because I guess he made the move to go to Brunswick. And I think that was really the reason. And he wanted to take all his acts to Brunswick with him, and so I didn't know exactly when he had planned to record me. But I at that time I really wasn't bugging him about it because we were doing good, you know, as a group.
Okay.
And not only that, but when this Heart of Man came out, you know, like, man, I was getting all kind of offers, you know, like to leave Carl.
Okay.
You know, to come to Motown for one, from Berry Gordy and Diana Ross.
So they Barry called you up?
Yeah, they wanted me to come to Motown.
Okay.
And I went and asked Carl, what did he think? And Carl said, no way.
So did you guys perform in Detroit a lot, too? Did you ever go to Detroit as artists?
I think I went to Detroit maybe once, but I think they went more than I did, you know.
After you left?
After I left, with Tommy Green.
So in 67, you said, well... That in 67 is when I'm Gonna Miss You and I think your solo stuff came out, maybe late 66 or
okay,
67. So what was the story? Carl had taken you to Brunswick Records.
Right.
And I think actually your solo record might have come out first before I'm Gonna Miss You, but they both came out around the same time.
Right, right.
So what did he record you with the Artistics and then record your solo? What was the story?
No, all of that was in one session.
Okay.
It was an Artistic session.
Yeah, because I think the three solo records he put out and you also had the Artistics backing, right?
Right, right.
So pretty much you're saying he did one big session and had just named three other records, Artistics, and named some of them
right.
Marvin Smith.
Right.
Okay, so do you know what the deal is? Like, I think he released your solo record first and then released I'm Gonna Miss You.
Okay.
But both of them got play, right?
Both of them got play. Matter of fact, they were both hitting. I mean, you know, Time Stop. I appeared on American Bandstand, Dick Clark Show, and the group, I think they were playing California, and, you know, like other cities and everything, and I was pretty much by myself there.
Okay, so the group was working, and they were working off of I'm Gonna Miss You,
right.
But without you singing on it.
Right.
So who replaced you in the Artistics?
Tommy Green.
Okay, and who was he?
Tommy Green was another guy, friend of ours from the neighborhood, that the group knew and I knew. I think he went to school. I think he went to Marshall with the group. So they knew him, and I knew him. I guess I knew him from singing around in the neighborhood, but I suggested to them to let Tommy take my place.
Okay. And so you actually brought him into the group yourself?
Right, uh-huh.
And then, were you excited that you had a solo record out?
Oh, yeah. You know, that's what I've been waiting for, because it wasn't any problems with the group or nothing that I wanted to leave or nothing. I know a lot of times people always got the stories mixed up, thinking that when they saw the Temptations movie with David Ruffin and how he left the group, you know, they kind of looked at me.
They thought you were the David Ruffin.
You know, yeah, I was kind of like, and I said, no, it wasn't like that at all, you know, so it was always, my intentions were always, you know, to record on my own, and because I had been singing with groups pretty much all my life before then, you know, and I felt like I was ready. You know, I got all the experience from being with a professional group like the El Dorados, and I felt like I was ready. Carl thought I was ready, too.
Okay, so you finally got your chance, and you hit your... I think this was one of your biggest solo hits was Time Stop, first record. So let me play this record, and we can talk some more.
Oh, okay.
So this is Marvin Smith, backed by the rest of the Artistics, on his first solo record, Time Stopped.
Count on. I knew I had a woman I could depend on. I knew I had somebody I could tell my troubles to. But time stopped when you said you didn't love me.
Okay, that was just Marvin Smith with his first solo record that was released called Time Stop, that was released around 1967 on Brunswick Records, and it was backed by the Artistics. And if you're just tuning in, I have Marvin up in here telling his story. So you said that came around on the same time as I'm Gonna Miss You, right?
Right. Uh-huh.
Did Time Stop get play?
Oh, yeah, Time Stop got a lot of play.
Did it get national play?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Do you remember what cities it was big in?
No, I don't remember exactly what cities it was big in, but I know it sold, you know, quite a bit.
So you said you actually toured based on that single as a solo artist?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you said, where did you go based on the single?
Pretty much the same places, like the Apollo, the Philly, the Uptown, the Regal in the Chicago, a few other places, you know.
And when you toured, you were by yourself, right, pretty much?
Yeah, I was by myself.
Do you remember, but did you open or play with other acts on some of the shows? Like
The shows were pretty much the same, like the Regal and the Apollo, you know, five or six acts.
Do you remember some of the other big acts you played with?
Oh, yeah. Gladys Knight and the Pips, Jackie Wilson, Stevie Wonder, Otis Redding, the Dales, Jerry Butler, Shy Lights.
Okay. And you never did. Did you ever end up doing shows where the Artistics were on the same bill with you solo?
No.
Okay.
No.
And it was kind of weird because at the same time they had their biggest hit with you singing on it, I'm Gonna Miss You, right?
Right.
Was that? But that was even a bigger hit than Time Stop, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was.
So it must have kind of hurt your solo career if the group you were with had a bigger hit with you singing lead on it. Did that like make it harder to get play? Or?
No, not really.
Okay.
Because I was, well, you know, my hit was pretty big. I got two songs being played on the radio.
Okay.
All over the country, you know, so No, I wasn't.
But everyone,
at all.
When people heard the Artistics record, they knew it was Marvin, the same guy singing.
Right.
Okay, so
I didn't have no problem with that at all.
Okay. And then the flip was called Have More Time. It was also written by Barrett Strong.
Right, right.
So he must have still been in Chicago at the time, still working with Carl.
Right, uh-huh.
And then, so Carl released, and there was a few more Artistics. Was that the only the first Artistic record on Brunswick that you were on? But they released a few more records you were on, is that right?
Yeah, we went back. I got back in the group later. Actually, the thing was that I would always, how can I say? I guess the fact that work was hard at that time for groups. So it's kind of like if the Artistics got a job, you know, Larry would call me up and ask me, you know, did I want to do it?
So even when you were a solo singer, you'd occasionally go back?
Yeah, I would work with them.
You're saying if Tommy couldn't do it or something?
Right. Well, most of it, like I said, all they had to do was call me and tell me that they had a job, and I told them I would, you know, I would do it whenever.
Okay.
So I did.
So
and that's when we did the standard songs, you know, like I Wish You Love and What the World Needs Now is Love, those songs. That's when we did those.
You're saying when you recorded those songs? Are you saying on your shows you did those standards?
No, we recorded those standards.
Okay.
No, I never did sing any of them on my show.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So Brunswick released three records on you as Marvin Smith. Mm-hmm. The next one was called Hold On and Fading Memories.
Okay, Fading Memories. That was with the group.
Did that get any play?
Not really. Uh-uh.
And then the last one was a nice one. It was I Want Something to Remember You By and Love Ain't Nothing But Pain.
Right. They never got played.
So, so all of that stuff was happening around 67, and you had left the group, and the group actually recorded some more material without you, right? The Artistics did,
right? Uh-huh.
And so the stuff they recorded without you, but you were on a few of the singles that they had released at the time, right? Not just I'm Gonna Miss You, right?
No, I was on like I said, a few other songs other than the standards, like. Songs like, Eugene Record wrote a number of songs. I don't have nothing to.
Okay, I should have brought those.
There were several other songs that I did do. But they all, you know, those songs never got played. We even did one of the Temptation songs. Once Upon a Time, I can't think of the name of it. We did one by the Temptations.
So then you came back into the Artistics after a couple years, is that right?
Right. Uh-huh.
So I think you left maybe 66, 67.
Right.
And then you came back 68, 69.
Right.
What was the story? You just wanted to come back to the group at that point? Or just always going back and forth?
Right. It was always about the work.
Okay.
You know.
So and was the first record you recorded when you came back with them What Happened?
Yeah. That's when we did the... all that was with the standard songs, like What the World Needs Now is Love.
Okay.
And I Wish You Love, all of those songs. That's when we did them.
Okay, so Brunswick released an album that had What Happened and then those standards.
Standard song, Yesterday's Girl.
Yeah.
I don't know if you heard that one.
Yeah, that's a good song.
Okay.
Yeah, Brunswick, they did that with a lot of their records. Like they cut one single that was a hit, and then they released an album with a bunch of filler, like standards and stuff
right,
like that.
Right, right, right.
So, but What Happened got some play, didn't it?
Not really.
Okay.
No.
But that was a good song, though.
Yeah, that was. I love to sing that song too. Yeah.
I left that one at home. I should have brought it to play. So, then, how long were you with the Artistics when you came back with them?
We were together for I say maybe all the way up until maybe the 90s, because the last not even that. 2003, we played the
at Navy Pier.
Navy Pier. Yeah,
but I know you had done stuff with them since, but you were with them for a couple more years at Brunswick and left again to be solo. Is that right?
Well, yeah.
Because I know that.
Well, actually, what I was doing is I was really working on my record, and which was Just Time Stop.
Yeah, and how come they never released a solo album?
I don't know.
Okay, because they had at least six. They had at least six singles.
As a matter of fact, I did talk to. The president of the company about that, and at the time I talked to him, he said that there was something he considered.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So did you record any more than the six songs that were released at Brunswick as a solo artist?
No, not that I could recall. No other songs.
Okay. Mm-mm. So there probably wasn't even, like, if you would probably need a couple more songs for an album.
Right. Well, I would think that they would put a couple of the songs I did with the Artistics along with, you know, the songs I had by myself would be enough.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So then I know around the time of I Want You to Make My Life Over, Robert Dobine rejoined the group, and you had left the group.
Right.
Did you leave right before that song, or you left earlier than that?
It was earlier than that.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I know you ended up going to work with Curtis Mayfield at his record label, Mayfield Records.
Yeah, Mayfield.
So how did you end up, why did you end up leaving Brunswick to work with him?
Well, I signed with Curtis because I wasn't getting any more records from Carl.
Okay.
You know, I mean, at that time, Carl kind of had it like where, you know, he would record you, but all at the same time, he had other acts. So it's kind of like I had to get back in line.
Okay.
Because he had the Shy Lights, Barbara Ackland, Love Makes a Woman.
Okay.
Young Oak Trio.
I know that Brunswick had a ton of acts.
He had a ton of acts. So it's kind of like, I don't feel like he was dissing me. It's just that I had to wait till my turn again.
Okay.
You know, so eventually, you know, I would get my turn, but since that wasn't happening then, and I knew Curtis was hot, so I went to Curtis, and Curtis signed me up right away.
Okay. And do you remember around what year you left Brunswick? Was it like 71 or something like that?
Yeah, something like that.
And so did Curtis record you right away?
Yeah, Curtis recorded. Well, I say after about, I've been with him for about a year.
Okay.
And he recorded me.
So one question I had about it is, he at the time he was working at Kurtom Records.
Right, Kurtom Records.
But he put out your record on Mayfield Records.
Right.
Was that a division of Kurtom?
Yeah, that was his subsidiary label.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
And that record got play in Chicago, You're Really Something Sadie, right?
Oh, yeah, they played it pretty good.
Yeah, I know. And I know in England now they like the other side, Who Will Do Your Running Now.
Yeah.
But in Chicago, the You're Really Something Sadie is a song that got
played.
Right. So let me play that record and we can talk some more.
Oh, okay.
So this is Marvin Smith with You're Really Something Sadie.
Oh,
Okay, that was just Marvin Smith with his first solo record after he left Brunswick Records. That was You're Really Something, Sadie. And that record, I think it came out probably around 71, sometime around
74.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And you could tell that it was recorded at Kurtom and had the same sound as some of the... Mm-hmm. sounded like, do you know who played on it? It sounded like the same people probably as on Superfly or some of the other
songs. Oh, yeah,
songs.
Yeah. Lucky and Master Henry.
Okay.
Lucky, what's Lucky last name? Scott?
Yeah, I think that's what that
Lucky
was.
Scott,
last name.
Yeah, Lucky Scott. Scott played bass.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, and that was a hit in Chicago, right? You got to play in Chicago?
Yeah, I got to play in Chicago good. And not only that, I really thought that I was really gone after that came out. I finally thought I had a hit because after being on Dick Clark's show in 66, this record got to Dick Clark's show where they had the show Raider Record.
Okay.
And they gave my record a 95. And man, I ran out the house screaming. I just knew that. I was over by then. And after that, I didn't hear nothing else no more.
So you were on Kurtom, you were signed with Kurtom Records?
Right, right.
So how come they didn't release, did you record anything else ever, or just that two songs?
Yeah, I recorded other songs. I got songs that Curtis did on me and was never released. The reason for it, I think that at that time, Curtis was pretty much caught up in as far as... you know, when he left the group, he was doing himself. So I think that was really... I think I just got caught up in the shuffle.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So they ended up never releasing more material on you?
No. Well, after Sadie, I asked for my contract, so...
Because they weren't doing anything, you're saying?
Well, it seemed like, I thought that Sadie should have been promoted. And, like I said, it was promoted a little bit. And then after that, I didn't even hear it no more. I wasn't getting any airplay on that song.
Okay. And one thing that's interesting is there was one more solo record released on you, produced by Major Lance, and it came out in 1974 on Contempo Records, which I think it was kind of a UK-based thing, but it came out in the U.S. also.
Mm-hmm.
The track was, you finally did a Sam Cooke song, you did Let the Good Times Roll.
Yeah.
And the other side was called Ain't That a Shame, and that came out in 74. So that was your last record, I think.
Oh, okay.
And
okay.
I think you said Curtis produced, I think his name's on the record as well.
Yeah, Major Lance
produced. Oh, Major Lance produced.
Yeah, he produced both of those songs.
Okay.
Yeah, Major.
I think Curtis wrote Ain't That a Shame.
Yeah, Curtis wrote it. Yeah, it was one of Curtis' songs.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't know the story of how that happened, that you ended up getting a record produced by Major Lance on that label?
Well, yeah, Major told me that they had made this track of Let the Good Times Roll, and he wanted me to sing it. So that's all it was. And so when I did it, that's when they put out the... Let the Good Times Roll, and what's the other side?
It's called Ain't That a Shame.
Ain't That a Shame, yeah. So,
okay.
But I didn't think either one of those got any airplay.
Yeah, I don't think that one
No,
yet.
No.
So, because I think Major Lance had a record on that same label at the time, too. That's
okay.
Probably how he hooked it up.
Okay.
So were you excited to finally do a Sam Cooke song, though?
Oh, yeah. I was. I was excited because I liked the track, and... I just liked it. I thought it was a great track. And Major, they thought I did good, with it.
Okay.
In the studio.
So, and that ended up being the last solo record you released.
Yeah.
So, did you ever try to get a recording deal after that, or did you stay working after that?
Not really. I pretty much just tried to get whatever jobs I could as a singer. But I wasn't really trying that hard to... get another record deal with nobody. Well, it's more or less like at that time, I was working, working a regular job, and I didn't really want to leave my job. So I didn't really try hard. I just tried to kind of dibble and dabble in it, in and out, you know, like get a job here, get a job there, singing.
Okay.
And then, you know, hold on to my regular job.
So you say you left to focus on your career, and you just did some music stuff on the side at that
time. On the side, pretty much, uh-huh.
So you continued to perform off and on with the Artistics at that point? You were still, every once in a while, they'd do a show somewhere.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, let me play another Artistics record, and we can talk some more.
Okay.
So this is the record we were talking about earlier where you do the girls' voices at the beginning.
Okay.
This is, and you wrote this record.
Yeah.
This is Artistics with Patty Cake. Okay, you're tuned to WHBK 88.5 FM in Chicago. That was just the Artistics with one of their early records they did on OK Records. That track was called Patty Cake. And if you're just tuning in, I have Marvin Smith, the lead singer of the Artistics, in the studio now talking about his story. So where we left it off was that you had cut your last solo record that Major Lance had produced, and then afterwards you sort of focused on your career and just did music on the side.
Right. Uh-huh.
But you have, since then you have performed with the Artistics, right? Like you did something at Navy Pier you were talking about.
Right. Uh-huh.
What was the story with that?
Well, the story with that was, you know, it was a job, and like I said, told Larry, you know, whenever something came up, you know, if he wanted me, you know, I would join him to do it.
What was the event that you did?
It was...
I remember it was in the summer.
I can't remember what the event was, but it was about maybe five acts on the show. You know, some of the... Oh, I know what it was. It was like the 50s acts, like the Spaniels, the Eldorados.
Okay.
The Magnificents, Soulsters, and... it was somebody else. It was about five or six acts.
But you did I'm Gonna Miss You with
yeah,
the group.
I'm Gonna Miss
so
You.
You were the only 60s group then on the
right.
on the bill.
Right, I'm Gonna Miss You and This Heart of Mine.
Okay. Uh-huh. and then I know I seen you a few weeks ago at that British event at Chicago, that Soul Trip event you performed at the Ambassador Hotel.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm sure that was exciting with all the British fans,
oh,
too.
Oh, man. They were just great. I mean, they really appreciate and love our music. And actually what they did, they came over to more or less thank us, you know, for coming over there, performing all these years, and they wanted to come over and just kind of get to know us, party with us, and get autographs as well as taking pictures and stuff like that. It was fun, especially to see all of the acts from Chicago that you know, that's been around for years, and all of us in one, you know, in one place at one time, because they had a VIP room, and this is where all of the singers and everybody came. And then they had the table set up where they were having our records. And well, you were there, so you know how it was.
the audience wasn't there.
Oh yeah, right. The audience wasn't there.
And then, have you ever performed in England before?
Yeah, I was back in England. I was in England in 2003.
Was that the first time you went and performed there?
Yeah, it was.
Okay.
And a lot of those people were, you know, coming to see me.
And do you have any shows coming up now?
Yeah. As a matter of fact, I do. There's a new club on the west side of Chicago. I'm going to be playing it real soon. Let me get the card. One second. Give me a minute.
That's fine. Well, let me play. I could play another record while we're... Okay, well, I'm going to play Artistic's Big Hit, which is one of the greatest Chicago soul songs. This is I'm Gonna Miss You. Okay, that was just the Artistic's with one of the greatest Chicago soul songs, I think from 1967, that was I'm Gonna Miss You. And that was actually, you were one of the writers on that song, right?
Yeah, uh-huh.
It was you, Larry, and Jesse wrote
me, Larry,
the song.
And Jesse, uh-huh.
So what's the story with that? Like, when you wrote it, did you know it was going to be a hit record?
No, not really. It was, more or less where Carl had us writing songs to the point where we would try to have maybe 20 songs a week. And after we get the songs, then we'd all get together and talk about them and select the songs that we thought that were the best. And that's the way we did it. That's how we came up with I'm Gonna Miss You, because he was really hard on us as far as like trying to write our own stuff, because, you know, that's what Motown was doing. Motown just had a staff of writers and everybody, you know, to do everything.
And that wasn't even originally the A side of the record, is that?
No,
right?
No. The A side was a song called "Hope We Have" that myself and Bernard Reed wrote.
Okay.
And they turned But when they started playing it, Herb Kent, I turned it over and started playing I'm Gonna Miss You.
Okay, so you got lucky that it got flipped over.
We got lucky that it got flipped over, yeah.
And it became sort of one of the most classic kind of Chicago soul sounds.
Yeah.
So before playing that record, you were talking about how you're doing a show somewhere at a club soon?
Yeah, I'm going to be at a new club that's opened up on the west side of Chicago, and it's called the Chez Roux. And it's a banquet hall, and it's at 5200 West Chicago Avenue. And I'm going to be performing down there on Saturdays, probably starting the next few weeks from now.
Okay.
But, so it will be advertised.
So you're going to be there regularly on Saturday?
On Saturday, uh-huh.
And do you know what you're going to be doing, like artistic songs and solo stuff?
I'm going to be doing everything, all artistic songs, Sam Cooke songs, Marvin Gaye songs, any of the songs that the people want to hear me sing.
Okay, so people should definitely go check out Marvin playing at... is the Chez Roux at 5200 West Chicago.
Yeah.
So and if people and you're still looking to do shows other places too, right?
Oh yeah. Oh definitely.
So how can people get in contact with you if they want to book you?
Well, if they want to book me, they could call me. I don't have a website, but I can give out my phone number to be reach me. You know,
yeah. If you want, or you can tell them to contact me. Whatever you want to do.
Yeah, they can contact me at my phone cell number is 708-310-1204, and we could talk about bookings.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, great. Well, I hope you start getting a lot more work, too, because you cut a lot of great material.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
And so do you have any last words for the listening audience?
Well, all I could say is that I want to thank all of the fans that's been listening and playing our music over all these years, my music as well as the music with the group. And we hope you continue to love us, because we enjoy entertaining you, and just hope that you enjoy, you know, seeing us, and hope that we can get a good message out there that we're all about. Music is love, and love is what we're all about. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks so much for coming out.
And thank you, too.
Okay, well, this last record you're going to play is the first artistic record that Marvin sings on, and one of my favorite early records they did. This is Get My Hands on Some Lovin'.